James chapter number 2, if you stand for reverence to reading of God's word, should have had plenty of time to find it. James chapter number 2, verse number 14, the Bible says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked or destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yet man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect?" That word perfect there means just complete, mature. "And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord. Lord, I pray that you just give me the words to say. Lord, I can't do this tonight by myself, and I acknowledge that, and I pray that you just help me. Lord, I pray that we look at this topic tonight, and Lord, you've really convicted me about it and made me evaluate things in my life, and I pray that this would just be a challenge to the people tonight. And Lord, above all, I pray that you would be glorified in this, and we'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk about this subject tonight, faith in action. Faith in action. I think as Christians, a lot of times we have a misconception of what faith is. You know, we see faith as, most people think faith is some mystical, unseen thing, okay? And now, don't get me wrong, and I don't want you to take this wrong tonight, but honestly, as a Christian, I get kind of sick and tired, and maybe this is just me ranting a bit, but I get sick and tired of people that say they're Christians and have no similitude of being Christ-like in any way, shape, or form. You know, in James, if we would go over, I think it's in the second chapter, or I think it is, maybe third chapter. It's the third chapter. James talks about, you know, can a fountain, a sweet fountain, bring forth at the same time bitter and sweet water? Can a, you know, a fig tree produce good fruit and bad fruit at the same time, or figs and olives or whatever at the same time? No, it can't. And I think sometimes people that, and honestly, it kind of makes you doubt, question, maybe not say doubt, maybe question, are they truly a Christian? Are they really saved? You know? And I think we got to look at our lives, and I want to talk to you tonight about faith in action. And we often see and hear people say that they are Christians, supposedly have Jesus living in their lives, but their lives tell just the opposite. Like I said, folks, I'm not here to judge people. And I'm not here to judge anybody here tonight. All right? But I do want you, this is one of those messages, I just want you to take maybe what I hope the Lord uses me to say tonight and take it and mull over it this week. Just, it's just a thinking thing. I'm just going to say some things, make you, never thought about that. Okay? Or maybe you have, but maybe it's just a good reminder. Okay? So I want to ask you some things if you believe in. All right? Now, most of us would say, yeah, I believe in all those things. Okay? But then once we get into the message, I really want you, at the end of this and throughout the week, I want you to say, do I really believe in that? Because remember, folks, faith without works is dead. It's empty. It's vain. Okay? Let me ask you this. Do you believe in hell? Yes, sir. Do you believe in hell? Okay. Do you believe that God is omniscient and all-knowing? Okay. These are simple questions. Don't be scared. I'm not going to trick you or nothing. I don't know. See if he answers. Do you believe that God is coming soon?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Do you believe that Christ died for your sin?
Yes, sir.
Young people, do you believe that God is someone perfect for you? Perfect person waiting for you? Do you believe, young people, that your parents and your pastor love you and institute rules for your protection? Ministry, those of us involved in ministry, do you believe that what you are doing will make a difference in people? Well, yeah, Brother Chad, I believe all those things. Do you?
Because faith without works is dead.
Do you believe those things? Do you truly believe them? First thing I want to say tonight, genuine faith and genuine belief will result in an action. If you truly believe something, you will act upon that belief. Okay? And I'm going to illustrate this tonight so you don't have to, you know, try to complicate your minds with it. But genuine faith and genuine belief will result in an action. I want you to flip over. You should be in James. Flip over to Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to show you this from the Bible, that genuine faith and genuine belief will result in an action. Everything that we do in life, folks, is based upon a set of truths. Okay? Not this is, once again, this goes back to children's church. Or I've taught the children's church kids this. But everything you do in life is based upon a set of truths, and whether you believe in those truths or do not believe in those truths. Okay? Sadly, many people have a misconstrued idea of what truth is. And they believe in something that, while they think it's true, is not really true. And so because they believe in something that's false, they live a life of falsehood, or they live a lie, basically, as a life. Okay? So you have to have a set of truths that you believe in. And let me just say this, those truths need to be sounded. They need to be firmly based in the Bible. But genuine faith and genuine belief will result in an action. You say, Brother Chad, how do you know that? Okay? Let's go, you know, like I said earlier, a lot of people think faith is just some mystical, unseen thing. But let's look in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. Now, faith is the... This is substance. This is not substance. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence. You know, when a prosecutor comes before the judge, he doesn't say, well, judge, I've got this evidence here, and he points to an empty table. This evidence proves that this man is guilty of this sin. Or this sin. Sorry, I had your song in my head. But this evidence proves this man's guilty of this crime. Well, there's nothing there. Oh, yeah, this is the evidence. No, if he's going to bring evidence, he brings something you can see, something you can grasp, something you can touch, right? Okay? So faith, according to Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. So you're hoping for something, but what is faith? It's the substance of that. The evidence, this is the evidence of what I'm hoping for. That's what faith is. By that, we're going to jump through, I'm not going to read Hebrews 11, but we're going to jump through it, and I want to show you something. Verse number 4, by faith, Abel offered, action verb. Verse 5, by faith, Enoch was translated. It's basically an action verb with a linking verb in front of it. Verse 7, by faith, Noah, if you jump down, prepared an ark because of something that he saw was coming, okay? Because of something that Noah saw was coming, moved with fear, prepared an ark. So because of Noah, he saw, God said, Noah, you need to build this ark. And Noah said, okay. And so by faith, he prepared an ark for the saving of his house. Verse number 8, by faith, Abraham, if you go down, obeyed and went out. Verse 9, by faith, he sojourned. Verse 11, through faith, Sarah received strength. Verse 13, I'm going to read this whole verse. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Verse number 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. Verse 20, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. Verse 21, by faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph. By faith Joseph gave commandment concerning his bones. Verse 23, by faith Moses, now this first one is the faith of his parents. I don't want you to confuse that. This first one in verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid of his parents. So it was his parents' faith that caused them to hide Moses. Verse 24, by faith Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, chose rather to suffer affliction, and esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Folks, all those are action verbs. It's not a, well, they he was reproached upon. No, he esteemed, he grasped. Okay, these are all action verbs. All right? Verse number 27, by faith he forsook Egypt. Verse 28, through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. Verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. Verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down. You say, but those just fell down? No. What did God tell them they had to do first? Look there. After they were compassed about 7 days. Another action. Verse 31, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed when she had received the spies with peace. So folks, I think a lot of times we think, oh, it's faith. We're saved. And I'll be the first, and I will take you through the Bible, and I'll show you for 100% sure that we are saved by grace through faith. There is no doubt in my mind. But you know what? What did the Bible say about that? The faith of Abraham? It made his faith perfect. Okay? It matured it. It made it more visible, if you would. Okay? So genuine faith and genuine belief will result in an action. All the Old Testament sacrifices. If you were reading through your Bible, if you took on that this year, you would have just, within the last few weeks, you would have got done with Deuteronomy and Numbers and Leviticus. And it's like, oh my goodness. But you realize, and we just read, and they brought 5 bullocks and sacrificed them before the Lord. Okay? Do you understand how much blood and how much work? That's like 5 words. But you realize how much work it is to butcher something? And how much, everybody thinks, oh, the Levites, they were the pastors. They had an easy job. No, just the sons of Aaron were the priest. All the other Levites, they bore the burdens. They slaughtered animals. I mean, these men were absolutely, in my mind, they were covered. And if you read how they killed these animals, it wasn't, they didn't stand over them with a .22 and pop them in the head. Okay? I mean, they were literally bleeding them out, basically. Okay? But all these sacrifices, every one of them was a step of faith. It was looking for the Lamb that was to come. That's what it was. It wasn't something that, but you know what? It took that step of faith. You know what God said if they didn't do the sacrifices? They were basically condemned. They had to do these sin sacrifices and the atonements and everything because that was a step of faith. It was an action. They were looking forward to something that was to come. But it required an action. Okay? So genuine faith and genuine belief will result in an action. Okay? Number 2, whether I believe or don't believe in truth, this is kind of funny to me after I read it, but when I believe or don't believe in truth does not change the truth. Whether I believe something or don't believe something does not change whether the fact that it's true or not. Okay? Whether I believe that there's a God does not change the fact that there is a God. Let's go to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Verse number 3. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. As is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Folks, just because somebody doesn't believe something, all right, doesn't mean that that's not true. All right? And just because somebody does believe something does not mean it's not true. Okay? Let me say, for instance, one of the things that amazes me all the time is everything that I hear that the Muslims are willing to do for their faith. They believe that stuff. Now, they believe a falsehood. But when was the last time you saw a Baptist, or a Christian, have that much faith in what they believe? Because what is faith really? It's action. You see Muslims all the time doing actions. I mean, if you ask Christians to pray however many times a day that Muslims pray, most of them laugh at you. They don't have time to do that. They don't have time to stop everything and get down on their knees and pray. Muslims do it all the time. They've got more faith. Now, granted, it's faith in a false truth, but they've got more faith than most Christians do. They believe stuff. They're willing to give their lives for it. Now, I think some of it is kind of blown out, and it's just an excuse to do what they want to do. But at the same time, folks, makes you kind of look at, made me look at my life. What am I willing to do for Christ? What am I willing to give for Christ? All right? But regardless of that, whether or not I believe in truth does not change the truth. Folks, just because you don't believe in God or the principles of God does not mean that he does not exist or that his principles are not applicable for your life. I wrote this down. Most unbelief just really shows your stupidity. So, number three. We'll be out of here quick tonight. This won't take long. Number three, there is a danger in unbelief. There is a danger in unbelief. Hebrews chapter number 3. Verse number 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence unto the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. You know, folks, your willingness to do something based upon your faith in something will either have rewards or consequences. You see, if you remember, this is talking about the Israelites. When God brought them up to the land of Canaan, he said, you need to go in and possess the land. That was an order from God. And then they said, no, we can't do it because we're small in our own eyes and there's so many of them and we just can't do it. So because of their unwillingness to take an action that God told them to take, everybody 20 years old and younger died in the desert, in the wilderness. But because they're, you know, Joshua and Caleb, prime examples of those that were, they were willing to take that step of faith. Well, we're in our own eyes as grasshoppers, and there's so many of them. But let's go do it. Let's go do it. Let's take this step of faith, all right? And so faith isn't just this, yeah, I believe that we can go do it. It's taking that step, okay? Just like we read in Hebrews chapter 11, you know, when they were getting ready to cross the Red Sea, it wasn't the fact, oh, I believe God can open this sea up. It was the fact that they were willing to walk through it. It wasn't Abraham saying, oh, I believe that God can, you know, God's going to provide a sacrifice when I take Isaac up there. It's raising the knife, getting ready to kill it, okay? It's taking that step, all right? Number four, genuine faith and belief are reinforced by faith or belief that has been previously acted upon. Genuine faith and belief are reinforced by faith or belief that has been previously acted upon. All right. You say, Brother Chad, what is faith? What would your definition, if you was to illustrate faith, what would faith be? All right, we have chairs. Everybody's got chairs. You're all sitting on essentially a chair, okay? Most of you do not even think when you sit down, do you? Do you? You don't think when you sit down. You just assume that chair is going to hold you, okay? Now, you know, if you're with a bunch of teenagers, all right, young people, don't get me wrong, because I've done it. I've been there. You know, you question your chair before you sit down, okay? Because you never know when somebody's going to pull it out from under you or stick something on your chair or something like that, okay? But for the most part, you know, I'll walk over here and I'll sit on a chair and I don't even question it. I just sit down because I know it'll hold me, okay? So when I sit down, I have faith that that chair is going to hold me, right? Okay? I could stand here all day and say, I think that'll hold me. I think that pew will hold me. Without ever sitting on it, I could look at it and say, I think that will hold me. But you know what? That's not faith. That's just a theory. Most Christians just have theory in their life. They don't have faith. You just see something, you say, let me say this, for instance. I believe in hell. I believe in hell. Do you? Or is that just a theory that you have? You've never been there. You've never seen it. You've never even seen the results of it. And most of us have not faith enough to act upon it. Because if you acted upon it, those people, your neighbors that are dying and going to hell, you would go witness to them. That is faith. Yes, sir. I can sit here in my church pew and I can say, I believe that there's a place called hell. Okay, then go act upon it. Because until you act upon it, it's just a theory. It's just saying, I believe in it. The devils believe in God, and they tremble. What are you doing to act upon it? We could go back to that whole list of things. I believe that God is omniscient. I believe that God's everywhere all the time. That means he's, sir, with you in your truck or on your couch watching TV. Do you believe that? Yeah, I believe that. Do you? So if you believe that Jesus Christ is sitting right beside you, you're going to let that come up on TV? If you really believe what you're saying, if you had faith in what you're saying, is that really, really what you're going to do? Or is that just a theory? Oh yeah, I think God's with us tonight. Is he? Would you goof off in church if you thought God was with you? No, you just have a theory. You don't have faith in it. I'm not trying to discourage you and blow you apart, but at some point, folks, it has to become real to you. If it's not real to you, what is it? Okay? And that's why I pray what most Christians, and myself included, I'm just as bad as anybody. And that's why I said it made me look at, do I believe that God is coming soon? I hear, and I'm not, I believe that God could come today. I do. I want you to hear what I said. I believe God could come today. Yes, I don't believe God, and I'm just, maybe this, I don't know, but I'm just telling you what I feel about it. I don't believe God will come today. All the air just went out of the room. And you're going to say, Brother Chad, what do you mean? Let me put it this way. If I honestly, truly believed that I could win $1 million down there buying a lottery ticket, I believed it with all my heart. Now, I don't care if it's gambling. I don't care. If I knew that the next ticket was a $1 million ticket, it's not gambling to take a dollar and trade it for $1 million. Is it? That's not gambling. That's just wise business. Okay? If I knew for a fact that I could take that dollar that I had and trade it for $1 million, and I knew that next ticket down there was a $1 million ticket, I would leave right now and say, the invitation is open. I will see you later before anybody else leaves. If I believe that with all my heart, I would act upon it, wouldn't I? And don't lie to me. You would too. Oh, Brother Chad, I wouldn't. Oh, give me a break. I say that illustration to say this. If I honestly believe that God was coming back today, I would not be here in this church service right now. I would be going to see friends and loved ones that I knew were dying and going to hell. I wouldn't have worked today. I would have sold everything that I had in order so that some more people could get saved. If I believed that Jesus Christ would come before midnight tonight, I would end today a penniless man in an effort to try to get people saved. That's why I say I truly, and you can't look at me and tell me that you believe he will come today and be a true Christian, because I think everybody in here, that's why people, they sell everything they got and go do crazy stuff. It's because they really believe what they're saying. They believe what they're talking about. Could he come back today? Absolutely. Don't get me wrong. And we look for it. We look for it. But faith drives you to an action. Faith drives you to an action. Do you believe that Christ died for your sin? What are you doing about it? If he died for your sin, he died for somebody else's sin. So are you telling somebody? Or are you, is it just a theory, just something that you say? When was the last time you told somebody about Christ? When was somebody last time you witnessed to somebody? Young people, do you believe God's got somebody perfect for you? Is it just a theory that pastor has or your parents have? Or is it something that you believe with your heart? Because if you believe with your heart, you'll act upon it. You'll wait. Because if you know somebody's out there for you, you'll wait for that person. Is it just a theory? Or is it a belief? Do you truly believe it yourself? Think about it. Do you believe that your parents and your pastor love you and institute rules for your protection? Oh, that's what they tell us, but I really don't believe it. You know why you're telling me that you don't believe it? Because you're willing to go outside those rules and outside that protection. You don't believe it. It's just a theory. Faith is an action that causes you to do something about your theory. Okay? Ministry workers, do you believe that what you're doing will make a difference in people? Oh, I don't need to study this week for Sunday school or for children's church, or I don't need to have anything prepped for the bus. I mean, does it really matter? Oh, yeah, Brother Chad, it matters. Does it? Then how much time, what did you do to prepare yourself for that moment? Because that could be, you know, it's happened before. I've seen it over and over in children's church. We get a kid in here from Indianapolis, Crawfordsville, some way out. Last time you ever saw him. That could be your opportunity to impact that young person's life. Do you believe that, or is it just a theory? Wonder what if some of the people in the Bible would have just thought it was a theory. Do you know, genuine faith in God always drives you to do things for God. Genuine faith in God always drives you to do things for God. Now, don't get me wrong, folks, and I don't want you to misunderstand me tonight. I'm not talking about salvation. But you know what happens when somebody knows that they need to be saved? It requires an action. I tell the kids in children's church, when I'm dealing with somebody for soul winning or for witnessing, you get through sin, you get through everything, and then you get to Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I always pull something out of my pocket, whatever I got in my pocket. I got a pocket knife tonight. And I say, I want to show you something. If I gave this to you as a gift, and most of the kids are, you know, they're still nervous about being, you know, having somebody, an adult talk to them. If I gave this to you as a gift, what would you have to do to get it? And they just look at me. Well, and then I have to go back to, at Christmas, what do you have to do to get a gift? Good things? No. Is it a gift if you do something for it? No. What do you have to do to get this? If I held this out to you, what do you have to do? And I always hold it out in the palm of my hand. I don't hold it out like this. I hold it out in the palm of my hand, palm open. What if you want this, what do you have to do to get it? Take it. What is that, folks? An action. You have to reach out and take it. You know, when you got saved, the Bible says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I may have got that backwards. But you know what you're doing? You're reaching out and taking it. You're taking that salvation. Brother Chad, how do you know that? Think with me, Will, of all the miracles that Christ did in the four Gospels where somebody was saved. What about the water to wine? What if all the people there at this banquet, they all had the faith? Man, we've got the faith. We are faith-filled. But none of them would pick up the pitchers, and none of them would go fill them with water. And then they go to dip it out. None of them have done anything. They go to dip it out, and, well, there's nothing in here. What did it require? What did their faith require them to do? An action. It required them to go get the pitchers. It required them to go get the fill them with water. So faith required an action. What about the lepers? What if the lepers heard? I just got done reading the whole unabridged version of Ben-Hur. Anybody ever read that? Ben-Hur? Oh, my goodness. Classic. You haven't read it.
You've read it, yeah. Lew Wallace and his Ben-Hur. I mean, it's a pretty good read. But anyway, it was talked about the lepers, and it's kind of based around the time of Jesus, and Jesus heals these lepers. But you know what? These lepers, they had to go to Jesus. I'm sure that they heard about it. Hey, you wouldn't believe, there's a guy that'll heal you down the road. Oh, whatever. Oh, he will heal you. Trust me. Okay, I believe you. I believe he'll heal me. I'm just going to stay here, though. What if he ever gotten healed? No, it required him going to Jesus. That's what salvation is, folks. It requires you to go to Jesus. Okay? The feeding of the multitude involved the sacrifice of food and its distribution. It required an action for it to be fulfilled. The lame man brought by friends, we've had several guys preach about it. I think it was Brother Harrison, maybe, that preached about it. But Jesus saw the lame man's faith? No. But Jesus saw whose faith? Was the lame man doing anything? No. He was not. He was a state of being verb at that point. He was not doing anything. But you know what? Who was? His friends. And whose faith did Jesus see? The lame man or the friends? The friends. When Jesus saw their faith, the ones that was doing the action, he healed the guy. Pretty amazing. So I wonder what Jesus sees when he sees our faith, when he sees my faith. What am I doing for the cause of Christ? But Chad, what are you doing for the cause of Christ? When Jesus looks down, he sees your faith. Makes me think. Makes me ponder my life. This wasn't, I know this is the month of the mountain of faith. This was not, honestly, this message. I've had this for a while. But it just fell in this time. And I don't, maybe God orchestrated it that way. I want to do one more illustration. And I want to show you something. Lucas, can you help me? I like illustrations, as you, most of you know. Me and Lucas have worked together quite a bit. Turn around. You trust me? How much do you trust me? I thought so. All right, turn around. You're not allowed to look at me. All right? Say, Brother Chad, what is faith? Pastor Robert Ross always said, he said, faith is going to Niagara Falls and watching a guy walk across a tightrope and walk back across the tightrope, and walk across the tightrope, and walk back across the tightrope. And then we get to the other side. He asks you, while you're standing there, he says, do you think I can do that again? Well, yeah, I believe you can do that again. Get on my back. No way. You theorize that he can make it over again. But you're not willing to commit yourself. As Christians, we're not willing to commit ourselves to something. All right. Put your feet together. I want you to fall backwards. Good job. You know what that is? Faith. Did you believe I could catch it? He says he believes he could catch me. I could catch him. Could you catch me? Yeah. I don't have faith. No way. He says he believes he can catch me, but, you know, he could stay there all day. And if he just stands there, is that faith? Based upon what I've talked about tonight, is that faith? No. Turn around. Okay, go ahead. Good job. All right. Turn around. All right, go ahead. I'm going to illustrate something to you. You know what faith is? If I would have knelt down on my knees the first time, you know what? More than likely, I know he trusts me, but I've done this in children's church. Brother Levi, I can tell you, I've done it numerous times. You know what most kids do? They're holding their hands to their side. They either step back or they put their hands back. That's not faith. You're doubting. you're doubting.
You know what he did? He trusted me. But you know where, and this is what God does. God's good to us. God doesn't ask you to drop way down here. Most of the time he asks you to do this. And then he asks you to do this. And then he asks you to do this. And each time when you commit to God, God says, all right, you showed me your faith. I'll give you a little bit more. You got to trust me more, but you have a better chance. You have a better opportunity, maybe I should put it that way. The more, and I've worked with Lucas, I think he would trust me. If something happened and I had to grab onto him, I said, Lucas, grab my hand. I got you. We've worked together enough, I think he would do it. He knows my strengths and stuff, what I can do. I think he would grab my hand. Based upon being that fact that he can help me. Thank you, Lucas. Folks, that's what faith is. I don't want to make this complicated. I'm not, but you know what? Sometimes I get aggravated with, I believe. Yeah, I believe soul winning works. Do you? Or is it just a theory? When was the last time you got out of your comfort zone? Is it comfortable? That's what's so amazing. Faith is uncomfortable. Is it comfortable, you know, just falling backwards, hoping that somebody's there to catch you? No, it's not a good feeling, okay? I've fallen sometimes, okay? It's never a good feeling. But it is reassuring when you feel those hands behind you. Gotcha. Don't worry. Jesus said, unless a man come with the faith of an adult, what? A child. My daughter, both of them, even right now, they'll stand and they'll just jump. They don't even say, 1, 2, 3, ready. I mean, if they're standing and you're standing within a couple feet, they just jump. That's faith. They know daddy will catch them. Although sometimes, smack, that had to hurt. But you know, hey, listen, in all seriousness, I don't think I've ever done that. Not intentionally, anyway. In all seriousness, you know why a lot of our young people that come into our church, in the bus ministries and stuff, they have a problem with salvation? Is because their moms and dads have done that to them. Not necessarily like that, but made them promises and not kept them. Just a side note. I mean, that's not what I'm preaching about tonight, but that's just a side note. You know, if you make your kid a promise or tell your kid you're going to do something, keep it. They rely on that. But that's just a side note. But that's what faith is. Faith is taking that step. Hey, you know what faith is going to be? Pastor said, we're going to build a $100,000 building over here. Where are we getting the money? I got faith that God will provide. No, that's not faith. Faith is this. Taking money out and giving it. We're going to build that building. We're basically going to pay for supplies and build the building ourselves. I got faith that God will. What do you think there are? Construction angels or something? I've never seen one. I wish there was. Now, demons, there might be those. But there isn't. You know what faith is? Taking a couple days off work, strapping on a tool belt, and taking that step of faith. That's what faith is. Faith is not some mystical thing. Faith is an action. I mean, look through Hebrews chapter 11. Did you see all those action? I didn't really see state of being where faith came to Abraham while he was sitting in his tent, meditating upon sacrifices. No, that's not what it was. Let me ask you this, and we'll be done. What is your... Actually, I want you to go to one more place. Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9 will be done. What do you say you believe in? All I want tonight, I just want this to give you food for thought. While you're working this week, what do you say you believe in? But if you were really to put it under the microscope, based upon what I talked about, belief and faith tonight, Do you believe in it?
Or is it a theory? Do you believe that Christ can save the soul of one of your loved ones? Or is it a theory? You got a good friend that's unsaved? Do you believe Christ can save him? Or is it a theory? Do you believe that we can build a building over here under with God's help? Or is it just a theory? Because faith is taking that action. Faith is taking that step. But Chad, what should I do when I want to believe, but I got some doubt? I want to, Brother Chad. I just got some doubt. I think there's two things that you can help you believe for yourself. One is make it real for yourself. Young people, our pastors got, and your parents have guidelines, they got rules. You can either believe their rules and believe their guidelines, or you can go to the Bible where they got their rules and their guidelines, and you make it real for yourself. Then you believe it. I still remember convictions now that I've got that, yeah, my mom and dad had them. But until I went into my Bible and I did the word studies and I searched it out, I didn't believe it, truly believe it. I obeyed, I submitted. But once you got on yourself, you're not under submission. You have to believe it for yourself. So make it real for yourself. Make it real for yourself. And then ask God to help your unbelief. Mark chapter 9, I'm not there. I thought this is actually where I started this at, was Mark chapter 9 when I read this. Verse 23, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. You know, sometimes it's hard as a human to see into the future like God sees. It's hard for us to trust God. You know, most of the things as Christians we do here on earth, we see no rewards here on earth. But the reason we do them isn't for rewards on earth. It's for rewards in heaven. And sometimes it's hard to see those rewards. Sometimes it's hard to see the benefit in eternity. And I've been more frequently, it seems like I've been praying this prayer that this man, you know, this man had a child that was being torn and Jesus, he came to God and he said, Lord, help thou mine unbelief. Lord, I believe. I try to believe. I think in all of us there's that, I don't know, a little bit of a doubt. I don't know if this is possible. And I'm sure you've got him. I don't know if we can do this over there. I mean, start a brand new church with a brand new building. Is that doable? Yes. It's doable. But not with a bunch of people who just sit there. It's doable with people of faith. And people of faith take action. So as we, not just this, but everything in church, as you go about your midday, your weekly ministry and you're witnessing to neighbors and being a witness in your workplace, don't forget it takes action. Not secret Christianity. It takes action. It's going to take action to build this place over there. A lot of action. But God, what did God say? If you have faith as a grain of seed of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be removed, and it'll go, you can throw it in the sea. Wow. Kind of makes you think. Just something to mull over this week and something to think about. You say you believe it. Do you? If you do, what are you going to do about it? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this night. Lord, I know this wasn't typical message maybe, but Lord, it's something you had laid on my heart. Lord, I pray that we would take it. Lord, I pray that as people that we would have the faith that we need to endeavor to do your work. God, help us to take those steps of faith, Lord, believing that you have promises for us, not, as the Bible says, not as yet seen, even being a far way off, Lord, but you have promises that you've given to us. Lord, help us as Christians. Help me as a Christian, God. I've failed you in this. Lord,
I will admit that I've not had the faith. I've not taken the, I say I believe things, and then I don't take the steps to back that belief up. Lord, I pray that you would just help us as Christians, help me as a Christian to have more faith. Help us to examine our lives and in the quiet moments of the days to follow, Lord, just help us to look and see where there might be things that we should really step up and shore up and show our faith more in our actions. Lord, I pray that you just help us with this. Lord, thank you for this opportunity you give us to gather tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.